This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
In a few minutes, working for peanuts in this COVID economy. I'm David Brancaccio. The Federal Reserve and its role as bank regulator has just started the process of modernizing how the U.S. ensures that low and moderate income people get access to loans. This comes both in the context of how technology is changing the way people get loans and amid the reinvigorated social justice movement in America. The Fed is inviting feedback on how to update the 40-year-old Community Reinvestment Act. I spoke to Karen Petru today. She's founder of Federal Financial Analytics in Washington.
The Community Reinvestment Act dates back to 1977, and it's an important reminder that we've been asking ourselves as a country the same questions for at least 40 years, which is how do we ensure economic justice? And in the case of this law, it's meant to demand that when banks take deposits from a particular area, a low-income area, for example, that they also make loans there, that they don't just funnel the money out from poor and middle-class people and give it to rich people. And with new technology, new lenders, and the explosion of non-banks, you've got lots of other ways now to suck money out of poor communities and then lend it to wealthier people.
In other words, if you regulate banks, that's one thing, but there's so many non-banks that could take your money or route loans to you that you're saying that regulation might do well to be more inclusive in how it thinks about financial institutions.
The rationale for this 1977 law is as true today as it was then, which is that banks do have special privileges that taxpayers give them, most importantly, FDIC insurance and access to the Fed. And that does create a higher economic justice duty. The challenge is not so much with non-banks per se, because they don't enjoy those benefits. The fact is that now you have lots of arrangements in banks in which banks serve as feeders. They gather the FDIC insurance and they enjoy Fed protection, but the funds are just moving into the non-bank sector. And that's one of the goals the Fed is seeking to address in this new rule.
Karen Petru, she's at Federal Financial Analytics. Always good to talk to you. Thank you.
A pleasure, David. Thank you.
The Fed chair testifies on Capitol Hill today, the first of three appearances for Jerome Powell this week. We're likely to hear Powell call for Congress to earmark more money to counteract the effects of pandemic on families and the job market. Just one piece of a 1990s law that defined the Internet is getting new scrutiny. Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act, which the administration would like to change amid its contention that the Internet companies stifle conservative views. President Trump is meeting with some state attorneys general on this today. Here's Marketplace's Nova Safo.
A White House spokesman says President Trump is meeting today with Republican state attorneys general to get their perspectives on online censorship. Some have already publicly backed the administration's past efforts to revise Section 230 protections, saying the public needs more clarity about the rules governing online forums. Section 230 shields internet companies from liability over the speech that's posted on their platforms, as long as they make a good faith effort to limit objectionable material. But Trump insists the law needs more clarity, an issue the president has tackled repeatedly since Twitter, for the first time, fact-checked one of his posts in May. Earlier this summer, the Department of Justice also released recommended changes to the law, and the Trump administration asked the Federal Communications Commission to look into the issue as well. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
Checking some numbers, futures are mixed. The Dow future is down about 8 points. The S&P future is up 0.2%. The NASDAQ future up 0.7%. And these numbers, 9:31 this morning Eastern, 8:31 Central, 7:31 Mountain, and 6:31 Pacific, the moment of the equinox when fall arrives.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Did you see? Closed movie theaters and ballparks during the pandemic has upended the popcorn market. Well, peanuts, too. Marketplace's Andy Euler checks in with a peanut farmer in West Texas as the harvest time nears.
When I caught up with Grayson Wilmoth on the phone, he was driving through his farm in Dilley, Texas, about an hour southwest of San Antonio, and he was a little distracted.
A whole bunch of coyotes running across the peanut field as I'm talking to you. I'm sorry, but...
And those coyotes can really mess up a peanut field. Wilma's fields are nice and green right now. He's only a few weeks from harvest. He needs all hands on deck, something that's hard to pull off right now.
My employees have had tested positive for COVID. My wife and I also tested positive about 3 or 4 weeks ago. So we've had to deal with that through the entire growing season of these peanuts being short-staffed.
He says nobody on his farm got too sick, so work was able to continue as long as people were quarantined in their own pickup trucks and tractors. What's more, he says the federal government strongly encouraged farmers like him to keep producing during the pandemic.
And that's what made things complicated, is that, you know, they're pushing us to keep growing food, obviously. They want us to keep working while everybody else is getting to stay at home.
And at home, Americans are eating a lot of peanuts. Ryan LaPCA with the National Peanut Board says consumption is at an all-time high.
We saw peanut butter sales up in March 75% year over year.
About 80% of the peanuts grown in the U.S. are runner peanuts, which are overwhelmingly ground into peanut butter. Almost half of the peanuts grown in Texas are that variety. Shelley Nutt is the executive director of the Texas Peanut Producers Board.
We've got all these parents working from home. They're needing quick, easy meals for their kids, or they're telling their kids, hey, go fix yourself some lunch. Kids are going to peanut butter and jelly sandwiches again, which has been great for our industry.
Great for the peanut industry, sure, but a spike in demand means more work.
They need all hands on deck shelling peanuts. And every time someone gets sick, they're out for 2 weeks and they're having a shortage of help on the plant floor.
She says peanuts have seen a climb in price over the last 4 or 5 months and are still trending up for now. In Austin, Texas, I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
Our producers are Victoria Craig, Meredith Gerritsen, Candice Manriquez-Wren, Daniel Shin, and Erica Soderstrom. This is the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.